Grace and peace be unto you. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The text for this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 6 as follows. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is to those who are called the power of God and the wisdom of God, dear friends in Christ, do you like mystery novels? A lot of people do, including me, and I think one of the reasons is that they don't stay mysteries for very long, right? Because eventually you get to the end of the novel and you discover the mystery. You find out what happened and why. And you understand events you read about earlier that made no sense to you at the time. It's a satisfying experience. Well, this morning, you and I have arrived back on the campus of Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary to consider a mystery. Not an Agatha Christie type of mystery, but something far more serious. In fact, so serious that it's a matter of eternal life and death. This is a mystery concerning God's eternal plan to save mankind. It's what the Apostle Paul believed and preached, and it's what you're going to hear taught in every classroom at Emmanuel from now until the last class in May. This is a mystery that is the center of what we believe and teach here at Emmanuel. So as we embark on a new academic year, consider with me the theme, the mystery of God's wisdom, hidden from the world, revealed to us by the Spirit, and lifting us above every judgment. We don't think about it very often, but the Apostle Paul in the first century AD had a lot of competition. There were a multitude of teachers around in his day, all claiming to have the absolute truth and absolute wisdom, all claiming that the wisdom they taught was superior to every other kind. Paul's message was certainly about wisdom, but he emphasized that it was not about the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Have you noticed that human wisdom seems to change pretty frequently? I recall where I used to live out in the Pacific Northwest, we have a very deep river gorge called the Columbia River Gorge. Resembles the Grand Canyon in many places, hundreds of feet deep, falling through stratified rock. And for centuries, scientists taught that this was another example of slow erosion that took millions of years to accomplish. Right up until about the second decade of the 20th century, when scientists suddenly found out that actually that deep eroded river canyon was probably carved out not over millions of years, but over several days when the Missoula Ice Dam broke and sent cubic tons of water through that gorge, perhaps even as little as hours. So one may be excused for asking, how good can the wisdom of this world be when it keeps changing? Paul said that the wisdom he preached wasn't like that at all. The truths of the gospel don't change over time. Scripture says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's pretty comforting in our world of 2025, where everything in the world seems to be changing at a blinding rate of speed. The gospel doesn't change. On the other hand, the gospel is a mystery, and one of the things that makes it a mystery is that it's hidden, completely hidden from the world. Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. The wisdom of God is the key that unlocks all knowledge, and especially the knowledge of how to be saved eternally. But Paul calls it a hidden wisdom. That's because by nature, human beings can't possibly discover that wisdom. It's like a mystery to them, but not like the mystery in a mystery novel where everybody who reads it eventually discovers the answer. No, God's wisdom is totally locked to the mind of natural man. It's insoluble. He just doesn't have the equipment to receive and understand the wisdom of God. In verse 14, Paul says, "Natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You might have noticed this, that people who aren't already Christians just don't get the gospel, and they just don't get our faith. In fact, they can't get it. Martin Luther had a great quote about this. He said, "An unbeliever is just like a log, a stone, or Lot's wife. That is how much natural ability he has to perceive the blessedness of the gospel." Rather, Paul says, the wisdom of God is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can get it. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." God's plan to save mankind was so strange, so otherworldly, that no one would have guessed it in a million years. Isn't it true? Let me ask you this. If you had to come up with a plan for how sinful people could be saved from their sins, what would that plan be? To me, it seems like the first thing you'd think about would be work, right? Make up for your mistakes by doing good and by being good. That'd be my first guess. And in fact, that's what a lot of people think Christianity is. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that his holy Son, Jesus Christ, would come to this earth to step into your shoes, to be your substitute, to live the life you should have led, and to provide you with the perfect righteousness you need to stand justified before God. That Jesus would offer up that perfect life on the cross so that all your sins could be washed away in his blood. Now that's a plan no one would ever have guessed. In fact, it's a plan no one can guess or can believe or can understand without the power of the Holy Spirit working faith in their heart. God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. Through the preaching of the gospel, that Spirit has already implanted faith in Jesus in your heart. Finally, Paul tells us something very encouraging about the mystery of God's wisdom, that it lifts us above every judgment. "For he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." And by the spiritual, the apostle's talking about you, someone who's a Christian, who's a believer. That wisdom that God has given you in faith has opened your eyes. So from your point of view, the mystery is solved. Of course, you are perfectly able now, by faith, to discern all the beautiful gifts that God has already given you in Christ. Pardon for your sins, peace with God and reconciliation, the powerful privilege of prayer, the priceless gift of God's word, the promise, finally, that you will spend endless ages in joyful rejoicing with your Savior Jesus in heaven. Elsewhere, the apostle says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You notice something else, though. Paul says something further here, that it is only the spiritual person who can correctly judge and appreciate spiritual things. But beyond that, he says, you are the one who can judge all things. The mystery of God's wisdom lifts you above and gives you a superior judgment. For instance, this fall, you can appreciate the sunset glowing on the beautiful fall foliage here in northern Wisconsin. And you can do that because you believe in the person who created both the sun and the trees. As a Christian, you can appreciate Handel's Messiah because you share the same faith as the composer of that great piece of art. As a Christian, you can appreciate the incredible beauty and complexity of the human body because you have faith in the one who created it. With the psalmist, you can say to the Lord, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Human beings, of course, continually grow and advance in their knowledge, faster and faster all the time, in fact. They say that human knowledge is now expanding at a rate of over 2,000 pages of information per minute. That means if you started reading 24 hours a day and kept it up for 50 years, by the time you got done, you'd be 1.5 million years behind. But who really cares? Most of today's knowledge is going to be obsolete in 50 years anyway. But one thing that won't be obsolete, one thing that will be as fresh, as resonant, as absolutely vital then as it is today, is the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the mystery of God's wisdom, hidden from the world, revealed to you by the Spirit, and lifting you above every judgment. May God grant that we be enabled to cling tightly to that unchanging wisdom and never let it go. Amen. We conclude with the first and last stanzas 1 and 5 of hymn 540.